I think a lot of you here know that, some of you know, that I've truly enjoyed my time here at Fairbanks. I just want you to know that I grew up in Anchorage, and I like Fairbanks much better. You know, I tell people, Anchorage is like going to Starbucks. Fairbanks is like going to a lot with a trailer and getting your coffee. So it's a little bit more remote, a little bit more raw out there, so I love that about Fairbanks. But I think some of you may not know that I live in Western Pennsylvania. My wife, my son, and I, we live just 1 hour north of Western Pennsylvania. Oops, that's not good. In a little town called Mercer. It's about 6,000 people. And I'm 3 hours from Columbus, where most of my family is. And I love that area. It's very agriculture. It's very lots of farm animals. And I wish you get an opportunity to go out there one day. But in the fall time, the colors are amazing. When they change, we have so many different trees and so many different colors. It's just a wonder. And then we got winter. And winter is brown. Bare trees, bare bushes, the grass is green. And that's why I love snow. It covers everything. We get bits of snow. But then the spring comes. And I think all of us here know what spring is like. We just can't wait for those green leaves just to pop out. Well, that happens in Western Pennsylvania in so many different beautiful ways. In fact, I don't know if you know this, but tulips and daffodils come right very early in the spring. As the snow is melting, they come right before the leaves come out, before the trees. Have you ever heard of a plant called forsythias? Beautiful plant, and it's just the colors in that. And suddenly the trees get very colorful, the blossoms. It is just a breathtaking experience in the springtime. But also we live around a cattle ranch, a big cattle ranch. And one of my favorite things to do through the springtime is I like to drive by the cattle ranch, and I get to see all the little calves being born. It is so fun to watch. I would sit there for 10, 15 minutes, and literally right in front of me, you got this mom who's about to deliver this little calf. And it's fun to watch and to see them get up. And matter of fact, I had to chase one time because it escaped through the fence. It got on the other side, and I'm sitting there going, oh, my gosh. And I was able to get the thing back into the fence, but hey, it's a great story. But another thing about what cattle do, I don't know if you know it, but they have four stomachs. And when they eat the grass, they munch on it, and they're just filling their stomach with the grass. And they're filling it, and they're filling it. And there's a point where they have to break that grass down because that first initial eating of the grass, they can't digest it. They have to be in a position where they allow their four stomachs to break down the grass even smaller. And many times you'll see them in the afternoon sitting there, lying there, and they're just sitting there just chewing the cud, just enjoying that meal. They're breaking down those pieces, you know, and they do that for the longest time. And this is the picture that God wants us to have when it comes to understanding and knowing God's Word. It's called meditate. It's when we sit back and we just chew on God's Word. It's a very important part of knowing God. It's a very important part of studying the Bible. And for the last 3 weeks, we have worked on knowing how to study the Bible. It's a beautiful thing. And one of the most important things that we've learned that we need to know that God created us right here so that we can hear His voice. God created us so that we can hear His voice. That was His plan. He wanted us to hear His voice. In the garden, we were able to hear the voice. We didn't have sin that took that possibility away. So we're not only able to hear the voice, we're also able to speak to God. We have this amazing, beautiful gift of communication. We're the only ones that can do it well. And we can do it in a way that opens our hearts and become very vulnerable before God, and we can be very intimate with God as we listen, as we speak. And God's desire for us is to know Him, to know him, to hear him and to know him. And we heard that that's one of the most important things. So what he did is he breathed in his spirit. We saw that. We learned that he breathed in the spirit. And because of that, we're unique creatures. We're able to understand and hear God's word. But sin broke it, took that away. But God loves us so much. What he did, he gave us Jesus Christ and gave us the opportunity to hear his voice again. That's the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us the capacity. His words are breathed, inspired into the minds and hearts of those readers, those writers, and then God helps us through the Holy Spirit that we can hear his voice as we read his word. That is so important for God for us. He wants us to hear his voice on a constant basis. As we read God's voice, as we read God's word, and as we listen and read, that word comes into our lives, and it becomes a part of who we are, and the Holy Spirit brings those words up as we're praying, as we're living life, as we're communicating God. We literally are able to communicate and listen to God as we walk our life. I also challenge you to get an expensive Bible. Fork out $100, $120. Just go out there and buy a great, great Bible. Buy a study Bible. You're going, that's way too much money. Well, how much does new fishing and hunting gear cost? Yeah, lots. I just bought a nice driver, 9-degree Ping driver, $125. That's a great driver. I love it, but nothing compared to this. We buy a lot of things, new clothes, new video games. The new one comes out, $59 for the newest game for PlayStation 3. Or 4 or 5. It's 5 now. So, my challenge to you is buy the Bible. Buy something precious. There's that word again. Buy something that's amazing. This is a study Bible, and I encourage you to buy a study Bible. This is Life Application Study Bible. It's one of the best out there. And they got all these wonderful notes. From history to understanding the geography to understand the people there. Buy one. Allow it to be a part of your life, and you'll won't regret it. I'll probably regret my driver, but I won't regret this Bible. So please consider that. Now, studying the Bible is not a huge undertaking. You don't have to go to 12 different classes. You don't have to go to a special professor. It's a very simple process. It's a very simple task. And I share that because there is a cartoon that was, have you ever heard of Bloom County before? Okay, there is a cartoon that I literally cut out from the newspaper and put it on the refrigerator, and it had to do with a diet. So here it is, Opus, the penguin, okay? He wanted to get on a diet. He knew the importance of losing weight. So he's sitting there and he goes, I should get maybe a seafood diet. And Milo in the background goes, eat less and exercise. And he sits back and Milo goes, you know, Opus goes, well, no, maybe I should have, you know, a carb diet. You know, he's trying to think of all these fancy ways to have a diet. And Milo's in the background going, eat less and exercise. In the same way when it comes to studying the Bible, it's not a major thing. It's about getting into God's word. And one of the most important things that we need to understand and we heard is that God breathed his spirit into the word and he gives us the ability to listen to the word. Unless we value God's word, unless we value his voice, we're not going to study the Bible. And I would also question you, if you don't have that desire to listen to God's voice, to study his word, I think you need to sit back and ask yourself, what's going on with my life? Am I really a committed Christian? Why can't I hear God's voice? If you don't have that desire, please come before the throne of grace and ask God, why don't I have a desire to hear a voice? Because a person who is filled with the Spirit, who's been regenerated, who's, again, picked out from God to be his child, if we don't have a desire to hear his voice, then what are we doing? So that's a part of it. That's God's beautiful gift and his reason for creating us and having a relationship. So God's voice tells us sweet words of life, and we need the Holy Spirit to hear. That was the first thing. Then last week I talked about put yourself in the story. And some people have probably heard this already. But it's real simple. get yourself into the story. Find yourself there, sitting there, watching the event. I actually had a handful of people come to me this week and told me that they did it, and it was amazing. They sat there. Think about the shepherds in the field watching their sheep. Think about it. Put yourself right there. Think about the smells. Think about all what's happening. And suddenly an angel comes before those shepherds. And suddenly angels, and as you put yourself there, and as you're looking at it, trying to see this as a movie, as a novel, suddenly you're getting a better experience of God's word in your life. You're able to see all the nuances. You're able to hear his voice. And think about what it's like as the shepherds went to Jesus Christ and saw the Christ child for the first time. Think about you doing that for the first time. Imagine yourself right there in front of Jesus as a baby before Mary and Joseph. And think about how you would respond to that and what you would see and what you would feel. Put ourselves into the story. Imagine yourselves right there with Jesus and the disciples at the Seder dinner, that last meal before Christ went to the cross. Imagine yourself sitting right there with the disciples, looking at Jesus and looking at all the things that are happening there, the uniqueness and significance of the Seder meal itself, as well as the disciples responding to Jesus and how Jesus was giving his last will and testament. Put yourself there and listen. Put yourself in the story. Put yourself in the story when the disciples were sitting in the upper room waiting for the gift. And you're sitting there waiting and praying, and suddenly you hear this amazing roar like rushing wind. Imagine yourself being there. Imagine seeing the cloven tongues coming out, and you're speaking in tongues of other languages. When we get into the story, we have a better picture of what's going on, and also it helps us to listen better. It helps us to hear God and know God. So today we're going to look at this other process. So we have to value God's word. We have to have the Holy Spirit to understand and to hear his voice. We have to get into the story, but also we have to meditate. God talks about us meditating on his word. And we heard this. We read it out. Psalm 119, 15 through 16. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. 119 brings out the word meditate many, many times. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. When I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. God, teach me. Teach me about your word. Help me to know your word. Help me to be able to hear your voice. And that word meditate, okay, thinking deeply about something special. And one of the best ways that we find to understand this idea of meditate is this idea of chewing on the cud. You brought the word in, which is really important. We can read, don't we? We read God's word. We're going through 2-3 verses. But God wants us to sit back and say, okay, sit back. You just got a lot into you. Now I want you to chew on it. I want you to chew on it. And it's a process. It's a process of tasting. It's a process of breaking down all those fibers, smaller and smaller. And not only do you do this personally, which is you need to do, and which is a fun thing, and it should be something we should do on a personal basis, but you can also do it with someone else. That's why I encourage you to go to Sunday school classes, to go to a support group, get around people where you're all sitting there and you're chewing on the word. You just got it. You're chewing on the word. You're listening. You're talking about it. But also for introverts, my wife told me, make sure you don't forget the introverts because you know what I am. She goes, you don't have to be in a class, but you can be with a friend. And so, David, I'm going to share with you a piece of steak. This is New York strip, and it has all kinds of special spices on it.
Okay. And I thought you were going to give me like a plate.
No.
Like a steak knife.
Eventually. So I want you to tell me, what do you taste?
Beef, yeah. Oh. a little rosemary.
Mm-hmm. Lots of salt.
Salt, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A little pepper.
Mm-hmm. There's the cayenne. You got it. You got it. You got cayenne pepper to it. I put cayenne on it myself. But the idea that we were able to share that taste together, and we were able to sit there, yeah, I got the cayenne down, yeah. The same way, thank you, David. The same way, when we study God's Word, we're sitting there, we're looking at a passage, we're reading it out, and we're suddenly, we're chewing on it. And you got a good doctor, Diet Dr. Pepper. Sorry, David. But that's what God wants us to do. That's how we study God's Word. We chew on God's Word. This morning, it's just a simple little theme. Meditate, chew God's Word. That's what we need to do. Chew on God's Word. Sit back and just enjoy the many, many ways that God is revealing Himself to us, helping us to hear His voice. So what I wanted you to do, I want you to go ahead and chew on God's Word with me right now. I took the Sermon on the Mount, and I took out specific passages there. And as I read those passages, I want you to sit back and kind of think about what I just said. And just chew. Think deeply about what I said. Let's work this through. Just to give you a little idea what that looks like. Sermon on the Mount. You are the salt of the earth. Right? But if salt loses its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? Is it no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet? Think about salt. Just putting some salt in your mouth, it's powerful, isn't it? It explodes in your mouth. Little salt, you know, grains, and you sit there and salt is powerful, very powerful. It's not something that's light. But it's almost overwhelming. Are you chewing? You getting the picture? But what would happen if that salt lost its saltiness? What would the stuff that you put in your mouth feel and taste like? Like putting sand in your mouth. It's nothing. There's nothing to it. It's worthless when it comes to bringing salt into your life. And salt needs to be thrown out. Dead, worthless salt, just throw it on the road. Let it be gravel. What is God saying to us? What is God saying to you? You figure that out. Because there's a very important lesson there. Then here's another one, Sermon on the Mount. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be destroyed to the one. Or he would be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Two masters. Holy God. Two masters? So who are those masters? So one is Jesus, my master. I'm chewing. So he's talking about money. He's talking about Jesus. Is he my master? Is he, what is a master? Chew on that. What is a master? What is a boss? What is a leader, like a captain or the president, with that type of power? And how should I respond to that person who I consider to be a leader, who consider to be a master, a person who leads me? So you start chewing on that. Okay. So Jesus Christ is my Lord. God, my Father, is my Lord, my Lord. You're my master. You're the one that needs to lead my life. You're the one I look to for direction. You're the one that gives me wisdom. That's the master I want to serve. Or I could be playing or choosing another master. Basically, Jesus is saying, if you're not serving one master, the right master, you're serving a master. There's something guiding you. There's something where you are surrendering your will to. You're willing to sacrifice to that. What is that thing? That replaces the other master because you cannot serve two masters. Are you chewing? That's what chewing is. You sit back and you just think about all that way. And the last one here is, I think, all of us here. Again, just ways. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about life. Whoa. We can sit back and say, I get anxious about life. So what does anxious about life mean? I start chewing on that. Well, I'm not in control. There's things happening in my life I can't control, and I'm anxious about that. And it makes me stay up at night. And it's really not a pleasant thing. Matter of fact, it's not a good thing. I don't want anxiety in my life. And you're telling me not to be anxious. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. So all those important things about my life, what I eat, what I drink, what I put on my body, how I take care of myself, how I protect myself from the elements. Again, chew, chew, chew. Let it break down. Break it down. Let God's Holy Spirit break it down, and you can listen, and you can hear God's voice through all of that. Then he does something that's beautiful. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. What a picture. The other day I was looking at a raven, okay? Ravens are big birds around here, and they're pretty, right in the middle of winter, you got 10, 20 below, and you got ravens out there, and you're sitting going, how do they survive? Good gosh. They should be in the south, you know, drinking a orange juice or something. Think about what that means. God takes care of these birds. They're not storing things away. They're not putting things in a barn. They're not putting things in a money account. But somehow God takes care of these birds. Are you not of more value than they are? I'm valuable? What does that mean that I'm more valuable than them? And start chewing that. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of your life? That's a heavy one. That's a real heavy one. I mean, chew that up. When we are anxious, we're thinking about the future. We're thinking about controlling the future. We're thinking about how things are going to happen. We find ourselves just getting so caught up in that, God says, hey, 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 can you add anything more to your life? In fact, let's look back at all the days that we were anxious, you know. How many times in my life did I allow anxiety to rob me of time and energy in my life because I got so caught up in anxiety? Then God said, you know, so that's what chewing is. And if you don't like doing it by yourself, get a buddy and sit together and just chew the word. And as you chew the word, as you meditate on God's word, oh, so many beautiful things are going to happen. You're able to break down that word. You'll be able to taste things that you've never tasted before. And it's a gift from God. God wants us to know him. God gives us every resource for us to know him. Yeah, it stinks. In the garden, it was so much easier. In the garden, you had your five senses. You had your senses. You're able to see God. You're able to touch God. You're able to hear God. Because that's the way God intended us to have, is an opportunity or willingness for us right now is to be able to know a person by seeing them, listening to them. That is a gift. We don't have that anymore. That brokenness of sin took that away. And it's awful, and it's I don't like it one bit. I want to hear God's voice. But God says, for now, I've given you the Holy Spirit. I've given you my word. Do you believe in my word? And when you listen to this word with the Holy Spirit, you're going to hear my voice. And you're going to know me. Don't underestimate that. That is God's gift to us. This word is sacred. Set aside. Now, these are pages. This is leather. But what makes it sacred is the fact that the words have been blessed, inspired for us to hear and know God. It's what happens on these pages. This is one of the greatest gifts in this world. I know I'm beaten on it, but sometimes we have to really understand the value of that. So, God wants to know us, and I pray and I encourage you, get yourself a good Bible. Get a study Bible. You know, if you want, I'll tell you, if you want a good study Bible, and you're struggling with some finances, I will personally help you put some money towards that Bible. And I'll find that Bible for you. If you are serious about getting a Bible and you're hurting for little finances, I'm more than happy to get a Bible for you. So please come to me. And I want you to have that gift. You hear God's call this morning? Which is his call? To listen to his voice. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, your desire is for us to hear you. To hear you, God, to know you through hearing, through being with you. And your desire is for us to talk to you, to share our life with you, to speak also. Help us to put great value. Help us to see the worthiness and the valuableness of this word. Help us to trust you and give us the faith to hear you, God, as we read your word, as we put ourselves into the story, as we meditate on your word. We thank you, God, for giving us this wonderful, beautiful gift. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.